Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined by that guy, Drew Johnson. You can find us both on X at Dalton underscore Trigg and at Coach Drew 33. We are pumped. This is another new beginning. You know, the Mavs, they got fortunate enough to win the NBA lottery. They got Cooper Flagg. It was a good step in the right direction of feeling some hope again, but there was still this lingering cloud over the franchise, and it's because Nico Harrison was still there. The guy who blew it up, you know, we got completely rug pulled from the guy who was the successor to Dirk Nowitzki, you know, the GOAT. So, you know, Luka got traded to the Lakers. It was a complete rug pull. We were gutted by it. At the time, DJ, I know we, you know me. I'm not going to stay down for too long. I'm going to try and, you know, get some kind of hope and optimism wherever I can. But if you go back and listen to that initial pod we did following that trade, we both were just like, this is the worst trade in NBA history. And that's how this is going to be remembered. So even, you know, even though there's times where it's like, okay, well, maybe they can just salvage it a little bit, or, you know, try to win a championship, and then the Lakers don't, maybe it'll work. No, this our initial gut feeling on this was right the entire time. Worst trade in NBA history. You can't trade a 25-year-old generational superstar who just led you to the NBA Finals for a 32-year-old center slash power forward that's had a history.
He don't want to be a center. You ask him, he ain't a center.
Right. A guy that, but I mean, even past that, you know, he had a long history of injuries. And it worked out about, you know, how we thought our worst fears, you know, came to fruition early in the season. The Mavs are off to a 3-8 start, looking like they're going to be in the lottery again. It's a good year to be in the lottery because, you know, this is the only pick the Mavs have for the next half decade, I believe. So, you know, it's a good time to do it. But, you know, you can't say that this team is going to be a contender after you trade Luka Doncic and then start the year 3-8 and expect things to be all rosy. So, Nico Harrison has been fired. He's gone. You know, Patrick Dumont, he sent out an open letter to the fans earlier today. I'm going to pull that up and read it real quick. But he said, "Dear Mavs family, on May 30th, 2024, the Mavericks won the Western Conference Championship. We came up short in the NBA Finals, but we all agreed our future was bright. As fans of this franchise, you have every right to demand a commitment to success from us. No one associated with the Mavericks organization is happy with the start of what we all believed would be a promising season. You have high expectations for the Mavericks, and I share them with you. When the results don't meet expectations, it's my responsibility to act. I've made the decision to part ways with General Manager Nico Harrison. Though the majority of the 2025-26 season remains to be played, and I know our players are deeply committed to a winning culture, this decision was critical to moving our franchise forward in a positive direction. I understand the profound impact these difficult last several months have had. Please know that I am fully committed to the success of the Mavericks. Thank you for your support. Thank you for holding us accountable. And thank you for your passion and for your patience. You deserve transparency and a team that reflects your spirit. Our goal is to return winning basketball to Dallas and win championships. Our family is committed to that mission and to continuing to invest in Dallas and the Mavericks' future. Please join me in continuing to cheer on our players and supporting all of those who work to make this organization the best it can be. Go Mavs." Thank you, Patrick. So, a couple thoughts, and then I'll throw it over to you, but a couple thoughts there. As much as Patrick Dumont shares responsibility for how things have gone over the last 9 months, I feel like that's genuine. I think he truly knows, like, hey, I messed up. not just with the trade, but with what he said after the trade, trying to double down because he believed what Nico told him. I think it's genuine. I know people are just saying he's probably saying, and look, his pockets probably are hurting a little bit because the Mavs' 24-year sellout streak ended officially last week. So, I'm sure the franchise hasn't been, making a ton of, I mean, they may be making money, but I'm sure they're not, knocking down any trees or anything. I'm sure that has something to do with it, but I truly think he got conned by Nico. I think he didn't have he didn't have as much of a knowledge of this team and of Luka specifically before any of that happened. He should have done his research before signing off on something like that. But I think he is truly sorry for how this has all turned out, and I think he's going to do his best. We'll see how it goes, but I think he'll do his best to try and, make it a little bit better, building around Cooper Flagg, and hopefully have a better situation going forward than what we've seen over the last several months. So that's my thoughts on it. I thought it was genuine. What are your overall thoughts? Nico being fired, the letter from Dumont to the fans, all of it. What are you thinking right now?
Well, I'll start by saying this. Nico Harrison went wrong whenever he let his personal feelings for certain people get in the way of his professionalism. And he made a decision based solely about how he feels about Luka as a person and about how he feels about AD as a person. He let those impact his decision to make what will probably go down as the worst trade, not just in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, but also in the history of professional sports in general. It just doesn't make sense. It never will make sense. And, as much as Dumont wants to frame it as, the disappointing start of the season as being why this is taking place, we all know it's because of that decision. And I'm a little disappointed that Dumont didn't actually own it in that letter to the fans. I think it would have done a lot had he done so, rather than just placing it directly on team performance. No, you fired him because this guy literally dropped a nuke on your franchise. And I heard a report yesterday. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I know the photo is real. And I think you know where I'm going with this, where Patrick Dumont was sitting courtside with a fan wearing a Luka Lakers jersey. Courtside. At first, I thought the photo was fake because it just seemed so surreal. But it was real. It's genuine. And there are multiple reports coming out from reputable sources stating that Dumont told this young man that he regretted the Luka trade. I would have liked to have seen that on paper, personally.
And some I saw somebody say my guy Tyler was talking about it earlier. He said that because of it, like the NBA, if he can't mention Luka by name because it would be a fine. It'd be they consider that tampering if he says something. And me personally, I'd probably take the fine in this instance just to, like you said, to completely own it. But even though he didn't, you can read between the lines and still see, like he I think he is owning it. Like I think he knows exactly what happened. He mentioned the last several months. I mean, you know what that's referring to. He should have said it and taken the fine, but I get the gist, and I think he truly did say that to that fan. Now look, some people are saying that, Nico was going to get fired today no matter what. And maybe that fan was like a plant. It was like a PR stunt or something like that, just to kind of get the wheels rolling
That's crazy.
on this
I like
today.
that.
Yeah, but I don't really care if it was. It was awesome, and that dude is now officially a legend because he, supposedly he. this is the story at least. Like, say it wasn't a plant or anything like that, but supposedly the guy had flipped off Dumont in his first interaction with him ever. So that's what happened. And then, apparently the guy's dad was like, "You're not going to any other games from now on unless you're going to apologize to the guy." So he went to the game to apologize to the guy, talked to the people, the security guards, whatever. They talked his way into going over there to talk with him. He apologized and just explained why Mavs fans were so angry and continue to be and will continue to be if, the change isn't made. And it seemed like, it was a good-hearted conversation between the two of them. So, if all that is true, like I said, that guy is an instant legend because the very next day, Nico's gone and a little bit of hope is renewed. But look, I tweeted this out the other day and said, if Nico is eventually, when Nico is eventually fired, because we knew it was coming at some point, it was going to give everybody a sense of justice. And it has. I mean, it needed to happen. It's something that had to happen. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, it's just like sadness now because just because, Nico's fired, he's going to go on with his life. Now, I highly doubt he'll ever have a job in the NBA again.
Now he'll probably get a job in LA. You watch.
I don't know. Not with Luka there, I don't think. He'll carry on with his life now.
Can we trade
And
Nico for Luka? No.
Mavs fans won't have to chant fire Nico anymore. But, it's not going to bring Luka back. And I have my own theories. I'm going to dust off the old tinfoil hat and say that, you look at how things are set up, even with Luka signing the extension with the Lakers, he can opt out and become an unrestricted free agent in 2028. The Mavs, if they don't trade Kyrie and AD, would have $100+ million coming off the books summer of 2028. They also own the Lakers pick in 2029. So, if things roll the right way, if they can play nice, if Luka, because Luka didn't want to go to LA. A lot of stars leave and go to LA by their own choice. He didn't want to go there. He didn't want to he didn't want to go there. He got ripped out of Dallas and forced there. So now that the guy who did it is gone, and Dumont seems remorseful, and maybe if they can go and sign the right general manager, which I hope is Dennis Lindsay because he deserves it, get Dirk involved in some way again because he was a front office advisor and got alienated and now he's been distant from the franchise. Get a good GM that Luka likes, get Dirk involved in some way, and it gives you a shot at least. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, I'm just saying you can position yourself to where it could be a homecoming, a LeBron-like homecoming, just with different circumstances surrounding it. And if not, that's fine, but you still got to do all that for the betterment of the franchise, whether you have a chance to, bring 77 back or not. So I'm excited for the future with Cooper Flagg. I think he is a stud. Last night, close loss to the Bucks. He actually gave the Mavs the lead late. With a he did a sick spin on the perimeter, jumped into Giannis Antetokounmpo, took the full contact and finished to give the Mavs the lead late, but the Mavs couldn't hold on, and he tied LeBron for the youngest player to ever score 25 plus points in an NBA game. So he's a stud. He's very young. He's like a full year younger than Luka when Luka was coming into the league. So the future's bright. I'm excited for Cooper Flagg and what's ahead for the Mavs, but there still is some sadness with how all the Luka stuff ended, and I'm still going to be hopeful for a potential reunion someday. I'm not hinging all of the Mavs' future success on something like that happening, but I could see it happening. And I've also heard that Luka still has his house in Dallas, so we'll see.
That's interesting. I did not know that. That may change my perception. But so we'll go back to the whole Luka to Dallas thing. Disclaimer, I want it to happen just as much as anybody. I really do. If there was a way to just turn back the clock to February and redo all this in a different way, obviously we would do that. But here's why I don't think it's likely. Yes, you know, in 2028, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis come off the books. It gives us, you know, $100 million in cap space, whatever. So we could potentially afford those two. However, we've kind of been in this situation before where we've had people come off the books and we look to land a big free agent.
Oh, yeah. The Donnie Nelson era was littered with that.
That's all it was. And this all just seems very familiar. And I don't know that I want to go down this road again to be disappointed by free agents when, in fact, we could just trade AD and potentially Kyrie for draft picks and, you know, other assets and have a potentially better outlook with the young core that we have.
Yeah.
So I think you take the safe road on that. I don't think that you bank on Luka coming back, because I know that he's got some special memories with this place, but it's not the same situation as LeBron had with Cleveland. LeBron's from Cleveland. LeBron's from Akron, Ohio. So, I mean, he literally born and raised there. Luka is from Slovenia. And Luka has actually gone on tape saying that he wants to retire with his original ball club. That is not the Mavs. That is it's Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's Real Madrid, yep.
So, you know, I think, yeah, the Nico firing's great, but everyone who signed off on that deal, you know, not everyone's gone. There's still people there who held responsibility for it. And that's one of the main reasons why I would have liked Dumont to make a public proclamation of owning it and paying the fine. Not just to the fans, but to Luka Doncic to hopefully open that up.
Yeah.
Because right now there is no formal apology, and there needs to be a formal apology for that to ever be a possibility, to me at least.
The most egregious thing that Dumont said in the aftermath of all that was when he was, you know, basically downing Luka's work ethic, and he used Shaq as an example for work ethic. And
don't get me started on using Shaq as an example for work ethic. Shaq is the most physically gifted player since, I mean, I can't compare him physically. I really can't. You know, 7'1",
300
pounds. There's just nothing like that ever. And I wouldn't say that his work ethic was great either. You can look at his free throw percentage, you know, something very easy to work on. And, you know,
look, he very routinely came into camp and, you know, in mid-season out of shape and everything, and he was just so physically dominant it didn't matter most times. But, you know, if he had taken things seriously, Lakers probably would have won like five straight.
Oh, he was overweight during those title runs by about 20 to 30 pounds. Yeah. He was overweight, and it didn't matter because he was just a freak. But, you know, we're not here to talk about Shaq. We're here to talk about Luka.
Yeah.
And the issue in what you just said with, you know, Dumont making that comparison, that warrants an apology. And there was nothing about that in the letter that he wrote. So, you know, I'm appreciative, don't get me wrong, but we need more if you really want the possibility of bringing Luka back.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but that's just the way that I see it. And you mentioned, you know, now that Nico's gone, there's still this sadness. It's because we never got the chance to heal. It's because, you know, our whole identity was assassinated and the assassin was allowed to run free for over a year. It's unacceptable. And it warrants an apology to me.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, well, not over a year. It was 9 months, but close enough. Yeah. Essentially a full year.
It felt like
it was longer than most would have. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. I now it's going to be a time to heal. You know, as our guy Dwight said on Twitter earlier, you know, I posted his tweet in a reply to one of my own when I posted DeMont's thing, and I asked fans, you know, what their thoughts on it were, because I thought it was genuine. And then I followed it up by sharing our buddy Dwight's tweet on there too, and he was just like, I don't care about a thank you letter or whatever. Go win basketball games. And
Yeah. Well,
that's where we're at. So,
I think the best way forward is to invest in Cooper Flagg. I think it's, you know, I hate to say this, but I think it's time to move past the whole, you know, Luka Doncic thing and trying to will him back into Dallas. I just don't think it happens. I think our best road forward, our most obvious road forward, is to invest in Cooper Flagg, hopefully get a top three draft pick this year. Utilize the assets that we have now to accumulate more draft capital, not only in this draft, but in upcoming drafts, and just better position ourselves overall. Take the Oklahoma City route. I think that's the best course of action. I think it would be very, very foolish to bank on signing Jokic and Luka in free agency. I don't see it happening. It never happens for the Mavs. It's just not going to happen, guys.
Well, again, this is a step in the right direction, if anything. Does it fix everything? No. Did it have to happen? Yes. And, you know, thank God the Mavs ended up winning the lottery and getting Cooper Flagg, because this would be incredibly bleak right now if that
Well, he would have
happened.
traded that first round pick.
Yeah,
That would not be.
we're definitely, me and you are on the same page with that. If we had stayed at number 11, that pick was getting traded for Kevin Durant 100%.
If we were below the top three, that pick was getting traded. I think.
Probably right.
Maybe even top two,
Oh,
honestly.
but look, it's a day that you know, obviously everybody's gonna celebrate, because we knew this had to happen, and we didn't know when it was gonna happen. Didn't know if it was gonna be this season, or, you know, 2 years from now or whatever. I always thought that it was a telling sign, though, DJ, when a few weeks ago Jason Kidd got that extension, you know, head coaching extension on his contract. And Nico Harrison did not get an extension on, you know, what his deal already was. Because if you remember, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, when Kidd signed an extension, Nico also signed an extension with him. And so they've always, from day one, they've been a package deal. And this last extension with Kidd, Nico was not a part of that. And that let me that to me said these guys are not a package deal anymore, and things have kind of, you know, started to deteriorate, and here we are. So, you know, it's one of those things we all kind of saw it coming. It finally happened. It was surreal when you know, the news finally hit. Mark Stein was the first to report that, you know, him being fired, Nico being fired, was expected today. And sure enough, it happened, and you know, now we try to move on. Again, you know, the Mavs are 3-8. It's so crazy, DJ, because you look at the stats, and overall, the Mavs have, even with Anthony Davis and Lively being hurt, and you know, Gafford missed the first several games of the season, even with all these injuries and Kyrie being out and everything, this team has been the fourth best defense in the league so far. But the problem is their offense has gone back and forth between 29th and 30th. Like,
So
the offense is so bad that the defense isn't getting, you know, the praise it should be. But yeah, the defense has been great just because of the overall size and length the team has, but the offense is terrible. So.
I think our buddy Nico may have misunderstood the notion of defense wins championships.
You
So let me
think?
clarify. Let me clarify what this actually means for anyone who is confused on the matter. Defense wins championships in the moment. When you need big stops in big games, that's when it wins you championships. But you know what wins games? Offense. Good offense. You know what it takes to get to championships? Winning games. Are we putting two and two together now? He did not. And that is why we are where we are. No one gives a crap about defense now. Go win some games.
Yeah.
And you can't do that without offense. And whenever you have nothing but power forwards on the floor, you can't run anything.
And look, as bad as the Luka trade was, I got some flack on Twitter for saying this at the time. I thought the Quentin Grimes for Caleb Martin trade was – I thought it was equally egregious at the time because, you know, at the time Luka was hurt and, you know, the Mavs did get Anthony Davis and several other players – well, they got Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and, you know, first-round pick. So it's like you had a little bit more on the bone with that return, even though it was nowhere near the return the Mavs should have gotten for Luka. You know what I'm saying? Like you had a little bit more on the bone with that return. You got rid of Quentin Grimes, who is like 6 years younger than Caleb Martin, 6, 7 years younger than Caleb Martin, who is very talented. Now, given he had a long, he had a lengthy, you know, restricted free agency holdout with the Sixers over the entire summer that lingered. But it's not like the Mavs really did anything of note over the summer anyway. So it's like if you weren't going to go out there and make some more moves to, you know, shore up your guard depth, why did you trade Quentin Grimes? Because at worst case scenario, he takes the qualifying offer just like he did with Philadelphia. And now he's on a prove it 1 year deal. And now he's motivated to play even better so he can get paid next summer. So it wasn't just the Luka trade. It was what happened. It's everything that's happened since then, too.
Oh, dude. Before that.
Generational bad trade deadline for Nico Harrison earlier this year. The worst trade deadline, the worst sequence of moves I've ever seen. And, you know, it could have been called that without the Grimes trade. But just adding that on right after is just terrible to me.
Well, also, I mean, you dial it back before Luka. We lost Jalen Brunson, who is now arguably the best point guard in the league. One of them, at least. He's easy top five guard. And we lost him. We let him walk. Who was in charge then? Nico Harrison.
So you know who he wanted before PJ Washington fell into our laps?
I'll let you tell me.
Kyle Kuzma.
Jesus Christ.
He wanted Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma didn't think that the Mavs were a contender, so he didn't have any interest in coming to Dallas. So then we pivoted and ended up getting PJ Washington, who is by far the better player anyway.
He was better then. Why is this even a discussion? Kyle Kuzma doesn't even like basketball. He's gone on record saying it's not even his favorite thing to do. He doesn't even like basketball. He's like a better Ben Simmons, who also doesn't like basketball.
And yet, every time he plays the Mavs, he loves to light the Mavs up. Because last night, you know, Kyle Kuzma had 26 off the bench and shot 10 of 17 overall. So, shout out to Kyle Kuzma. He hates the Mavs, but, you know, he may hate playing basketball even more when he's not playing the Mavs. So
he only likes playing against the Mavs. It's probably why he didn't want to come here. We're the only team he can light up.
Yeah. But, you know, several different – so many moves, not just with players, but, you know, firing all the people that Luka was close to in the organization and alienating Luka instead of just having a direct conversation with him. You know, the way he handled the Casey Smith situation, the best athletic trainer that the Mavs have ever had. You know, he was with Team USA and best trainer they've ever had. And just the way he handled his firing, because, I mean, I believe that Casey Smith was having to take care of his ill mom when Nico was wanting to fire him. And he made that known, like, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this right now. And I'm pretty sure he got fired over, like, Zoom call or something. Like, just there's so many different things that have led to this. But like I said, it was a dark cloud hanging over the franchise. It's over with for now. We can move forward. Now we just have to see what direction the Mavs take. Again, they're going to have to hire an interim GM, and I think they have actually. They're going to let Michael Finley and can't think of his first name, but Riccardi is the other guy. They're going to be co-interim GMs for the time being. But I think you got to go out here in the next couple weeks and hire a guy for real before you get into trade season and have you don't want these interim GMs. I mean, I know they have faith in Michael Finley and Riccardi, but I don't think you want interim GMs making decisions for whoever you're going to be bringing in there full time. So there's been some reports. The Mavs are interested in bringing back Dennis Lindsey, who, if you look back at it, he made all of the really good moves.
He brought in Quentin Grimes, didn't he?
He made all of the really he was a front office advisor pretty much, and everything he advised worked out really well. And I actually thought this move should have been made, a long time ago, because Nico kind of took credit for the Mavs getting over the hump and making it to the finals. I thought Dennis Lindsey did most of the groundwork, or they took his advice and got there, and then they let him leave and go to Detroit, and look how Detroit's doing now.
Yep.
With Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren and those dudes over there, they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good. And Dennis Lindsey is only the, I think he's the vice president in Detroit. Give him an upgrade. Let him be the president of basketball ops, GM, whatever titles he wants. Bring him back to Dallas and give him full control. And I think, you'll have a good foundation for the start of this Cooper Flagg era going forward.
What about Bob Myers?
I like Bob Myers. There's mixed feelings on Bob Myers because, I don't know. It depends on which set of Warriors fans you talk to, but I like the idea of Bob Myers. He's apparently in some kind of ownership, or no, he's like a COO of that's over like four different professional sports teams. So I don't
Wow.
know if the Mavs would have enough pull to get him out of that. I've seen Rick Carlisle's name be floated around there.
Honestly, that would be so funny.
Take him out of coaching and move him into the front office role.
That would be
Dirk
hysterical.
Nowitzki. Look, people say what you want to. People have mixed feelings about former players doing stuff like that. I think Dirk would be an awesome GM.
Yeah.
If
Yeah.
he wanted that responsibility, and he may not, he may like his Amazon TV gig for now, but I think Dirk would be an awesome general manager one day.
You would have to surround him with people that know the logistics of the corporate world, because I don't think he'd be privy to all that. But as far as like building relationships and having relationships already, now that's a guy that could make me change my mind about the probability of maybe being able to sign a Jokic and Luka combo, because there's a pre-existing relationship with those guys. And he may change things. God, I think I might like the Dirk idea the best, honestly. What do we have to lose right now?
For real. I mean, it literally can't be any worse than
I'll tell you this,
what we've seen
everything
over the
that
last
guy
9 months.
does, everything that guy does is going to be in the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks,
Hundred
because
percent.
he is a Mav through and through. There is nobody who is more Mav than Dirk Nowitzki. So if you want someone who has the true, best interests at heart for the organization, I think you hire Dirk. I
Not
love
only that, but like he has the connections to, like, I don't know of one person who doesn't love Dirk Nowitzki.
it. Yeah, exactly.
He has good
Miami
business.
fans.
He has good business sense. He has a good feel for how the game is played today. I think, like you said, you wouldn't want him just, doing everything on his own. But if you surround him with the right people, putting the right information in front of him and helping him make these decisions, I think it could work out great. So, I mean, that I don't know. I don't know if that's even a real possibility or not. I think Dennis Lindsey would be the most realistic right now, just because they have an opportunity to offer him something that he doesn't have in Detroit. Detroit's doing great. But, I think if you offer him a promotion and more money, I think he'd come back to Dallas because I think, I think he, especially since you got Cooper Flagg. If you didn't get Cooper Flagg, it'd probably be a hard sell to try and get him to leave that situation in Detroit right now to come to Dallas. But now, since you have this 18-year-old who, is not afraid to take it to Giannis Antetokounmpo in the clutch and give your team the lead, and he's literally one of the he's the youngest player to be selected number one since LeBron in 2003. So, a lot of room to grow. He wasn't used correctly to start this season because he was thrown in there at point guard. I think we're going to see a lot more from Cooper Flagg. He's already shown a lot, but I think we're going to see a lot more from him from this point forward through the end of the season, especially, since this is a year that even if the Mavs don't turn it around, it's fine because it's a very deep draft and this is the only pick of your own that you own for the next half decade. So,
Oh boy.
I think it's
Yeah,
going to work
that's
out well. I'm excited for the future. And like I said, Nico's gone. It's a good step in the right direction. I still cannot believe that you and I were talking to that dude face to face in New Orleans 2 weeks before that Luka trade happened. And he told us straight up, because I asked him about, the injury situations and how, any of that might affect what they want to do at the trade deadline. And he looked at us in the eye and said, "We like our team. And we're not going to be short-sighted about any of this. We're not going to do something that's going to affect the short term and then hurt us long term." And when he told us that, based on reports, he had already been in talks with Rob Pelinka. So he it was already in the works, and just stone cold, bold face lie. Can't believe it. Hey, look, that's something that's going to go into Mavs step back lore, though, DJ. We interviewed the most hated man in Dallas sports history 2 weeks before the biggest rug pull in sports history. So I guess that's something, right?
Unreal. He had to know it was going to happen. And if he didn't at the time, then he's going against his own statement of not making a sudden decision, because it definitely feels like it was a sudden decision. He wanted Anthony Davis, and he was going to do whatever it took to get his buddy on his team. And that's what it boils down to. He wanted his friend on his team. Don't believe me? Go to their neighborhood. They live right next door to each other. And as Kirk Henderson so eloquently said, they can both pack it up and get out.
Yep. That's right. Well, it's another thing that came from all this is, again, it's an undefeated thing, except the only time, and we talked about before the season started, the only time the two timelines thing has ever worked was when the Spurs got Tim Duncan
Yeah.
to pair with David Robinson. That was the only time it happened. And so here's another situation where they tried it, it failed. We'll see how quickly they go in one direction or the other here in the next several weeks. But I think the obvious move here is to now see what you can get for Anthony Davis, probably see what you can get for Kyrie Irving.
I hate that, but yeah.
I hate that too. I would like to keep Kyrie around, but definitely Anthony Davis, maybe Daniel Gafford.
Yeah,
I think you
hate
keep
that.
Lively, even though Lively has injury concerns. I think you keep Lively because he's just so young, and I think he's going to pair very, very well with PJ and Flag. But you gotta look at trading some of these other pieces now and recouping younger players plus picks if possible.
I
So.
agree. I agree with you 100%. It's like we've been saying, anyone under the age of about 25 or 26 years old is expendable. And I think that, sadly, we missed out on trading Anthony Davis probably whenever he was at his highest value. And that was, whenever he was semi-healthy at the beginning of, well, I don't know that his value was that high at the beginning of this year because he came in overweight. I don't know, man. Just get rid of the guy.
Yeah, now it's like, hey, can we interest you in a 33-year-old, slightly overweight, power forward who should really be playing center, but he doesn't want to? And oh, by the way, he also has a Achilles issue that could, you know, pop at any time.
Oh, by the way, his eyeballs are messed up.
By the way, he had to reattach his eyeball this summer too. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, what are you asking? You know, 3 first-round picks, maybe.
You ain't gonna get it. You're not. I mean, that's really what's sad about it is we're never gonna be able to eclipse the value that we lost in Luka Doncic.
That's why Nico Harrison doesn't have a job now.
Right. Right. But just from a pure value perspective, we will never get that back.
Yeah.
Ever. Biggest L in sports history, as far as that's concerned.
It's unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is. We survived, you know, it was kind of dicey at times, but you know, we trucked through at our own pace and survived that. And hopefully the better times are on the horizon now that we've made it through all that. So guys, that's going to do it for another episode. We wanted to come on here and just, you know, talk about all this because it just gave us a sense of joy, a sense of relief, a sense of justice, and then a slight sense of sadness in the aftermath too. But, you know, it's I think it's all going to work out for the best. This is a step in the right direction, and I think, you know, the future is bright with Cooper Flagg in Dallas. So, guys, we appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it. Whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more, it's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your back stock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.